Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
I want you to imagine a world where Tommy Lugauer got what he wanted. And I don't mean Tommy DeVito. Imagine a world where the...
Oh, I'm ironic.
Nope, has nothing to do with him. Imagine a world where the Giants were still waiting on an answer from Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Lord.
Glad you brought that up.
Because he still has an answer!
Wow.
But what... Okay. Let's say that played out.
Yes.
What different situation would the Giants be in right now a week from the draft?
So in terms of the actual football, I'm not arguing that. Because you could certainly argue, and I would have been on your side, you were better off in the short term with Aaron Rodgers. So it's not even about that. It's about living in a world in which we are still waiting on Aaron Rodgers.
That would be utterly miserable.
That's all I mean, Tommy.
Miserable.
Imagine that. Miserable. Would you enjoy that? Forget the outcome. Forget the result. It's not arguing the football player. We are still here. It's April 16th. The Giants still only have, like, Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito on the roster, or maybe just Tommy DeVito.
Tommy!
And we're waiting on Rodgers. We're just waiting. We would have analyzed the Pat McAfee show last week that he didn't show up to.
Was he supposed to be on last week?
No, but we made
assumptions. Oh, we just assumed. I see. I got you.
Like, that's the thing about Rodgers. It's not like he's doing anything, but we're all waiting and assuming. Imagine that world.
I was willing to take an Aaron Rodgers type approach to it, which was a zen, get centered, and just chill. We don't need Jameis Winston. We don't need Russell Wilson. My guy Tommy DeVito's interning. They could have drafted a quarterback anyway. And if Aaron Rodgers wanted to parachute in August, so be it. He's still the best option. He's still better than Russell Wilson.
I'm not arguing the better options.
But
I'm saying we're living in a world in which we're still waiting hand and foot on him.
Well, we
that's all.
Not necessarily. We'd just be chilling.
My point
is that the Giants doesn't sound like they have a direction anyway. So, again, I go back to this. Why couldn't they have just waited? What does it matter that they have Winston or Russell Wilson? How does that make them a better football team?
I think it's more what Jet fans had to deal with, which is living in his world.
You don't have to obsess
and
over
it, on it.
You mean being in the vortex of waiting by the phone, hoping she'll call?
Like, think about this. We have basically forgotten about Aaron Rodgers for 3 weeks now. We've barely mentioned him. He's a non-factor. It's a Steeler issue, right? It's about them and what they're going through, and we've been able to eliminate ourselves from it. There has to be something cleansing about that, no?
Evan, is extremely cleansing. I'll take you to a point in time. I was in panic before leaving for a trip. Oh my God, are the Giants going to sign Rodgers while I'm away? Can they make a decision? Thursday will mark 5 weeks since my flight left.
Right.
He still hasn't made a decision.
Well, just for the record, Sean wants Jameis Winston cut because he believes he's bad for the locker room, and he really doesn't like Russell Wilson. I definitely don't want Russell Wilson here. So as Giant fans, we're not happy with the quarterback room anyway. So what situation are we in that's that much better than wait? I'd rather be sitting here waiting on Aaron Rodgers, quite frankly.
But do you want your coach and your GM with their jobs thinking it's on the line, sitting there waiting on a flimsy decision by Aaron Rodgers? At least you just, hey, Russell Wilson, full steam ahead for better or for worse.
Or, hey, draft the quarterback at 3 and let's see what we got. And don't be afraid to take a swing and miss. I got news for Joe Shane. He said that comment before, well, you can't miss. buddy, you're out of here if this season goes to hell in a handbasket. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You're going to get fired either way. Can you draft a quarterback, please? So we're not sitting, or make DeVito the starter. I don't care which one it is at this point, but just do, I can't have Russell Wilson starting these games or Jameis Winston backing him up. And Sean, you have to be on my side with this. Come on.
I'm not. I'm Team Russell Wilson.
Let's go to Dom in Mount Kisco. How are you, Dom?
What up, Dom?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
I want to talk about Shedeur Sanders. He is not the right choice for the Giants at this time, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Mr. Mara has come out and said it's basically win or these guys are fired. You pick a quarterback at three that's not ready to play, and by all the indications, no one thinks that Shedeur Sanders is ready to play day one.
Right.
They're going to lose their job.
If you frame it the way you framed it, Dom, which is it's all about this season. Mm-hmm. They have to win games. They have to keep their job. Who cares about next year? Who cares about the future? Then you're right. But you have to think about both. And the way I interpreted what John Mara said at the end of last season was, I want there to be a future quarterback. I also want to win some games.
Yeah, I think it was less about we need to win 10 games in order for this group to keep their job. I think it was more about there needs to be a direction, a plan. We need to feel good about where we're going. Because after last season, you did not feel good about where you were going.
No, and I'll take it a step further. So, yes, you have a better chance to win in the short term with Russell Wilson as your starting quarterback. Let's say that all leads to a 6-win season. Okay, they're better. Get good quarterback play. Tough division, tough schedule. We all get it. 6-11. Are we feeling good or are we feeling better if it's 5-12, but I think we found our quarterback?
That.
So if you frame it the way Dom did, which is squarely on, they need to win the most games possible, then sure, draft someone on the other side of the ball who can help you impact the team in the immediate future, win as many games as you can, and hope that keeps your job. But you're trying to do both.
Yeah.
And you can do both.
You can, but you got to be very careful and tread lightly with some of the decisions that you're about to make. Because there are, if you miss, it gets really, really ugly quickly.
No doubt. Now, earlier, I played a caller who called up the station earlier today and said that he could not sleep last night because of a thought-provoking question we asked yesterday. I may have also implied that he didn't sleep at all. He didn't sleep with his wife. He was a mess. That guy, of course, wants to call in now and probably say that everything I said wasn't true. But I know it's true. I thought it was James in Neptune. Is your name Gene or James? I apologize.
I'm James.
Okay, James, that's what sure. I thought. James in Neptune, am I right that you didn't sleep at all last night? In fact, your wife kicked you out of bed?
I normally sleep like a baby, but that, you know, quote unquote, greatest question ever was kicking every sheep that was going over the fence.
See, the I love it.
So we have Daniels and Hurts and Prescott in our own division. We need to manage and manufacture wins this year. And we already have Burns and Lawrence and Thibodeau. If we add a Carter or even a Mason Graham.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's going to be the rope-a-dope approach, you know, and 8.7 yards from Sanders from and passing, and Ward and Cousins, Dart, everyone is higher than him. I don't want Cousins. We have Wilson. He's going to be fine. Let's get after their quarterback.
So you want to win the division by neutralizing the threat on the other side, which is the good quarterbacks in the NFC East.
3 yards in a cloud of dust. Hmm. Yes, sir.
Thanks.
And we're going to prevent 3 yards in a cloud of dust. That's what I want.
James,
no more tush pushes.
Right, soon to be not banned, but just kind of evolved away.
We could disintegrate that ourselves with the upfront that we would put up. Yes.
I want you to grab that teddy bear tonight and get a good night's sleep.
I've heard you guys have some trouble sleeping lately.
Except it was my fault. It was my fault asking thought-provoking questions on the radio. We're supposed to dumb things down and ask nothing thought-provoking. So I apologize. I think what this comes down to, this whole discussion, this whole argument, is how important is it to get an elite-level quarterback versus drafting a functioning, good-to-solid quarterback? And I really think it comes down to that. And you're right. You're right, Teak, when you say, if you're set up the way Philly is, with an offensive line.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
With an incredible coaching staff, you can take that average quarterback and bring him up a notch.
Right, and you need skill position players to go with them. You need all the little things to be solid, and that gives that young quarterback a chance to be successful. Look, it's exactly what the Commanders did a year ago with Jaden Daniels. Now, some of it was coaching, and you got to give a lot of credit to their staff, but Jaden Daniels felt like he had been in the pros for a lot of years, even though he was a rookie last season. And so if you can create that supportive environment, then anything can happen for a young quarterback.
Here's what I want to know, and I'm going to set a time up for everyone to give their strong opinion on this. We'll say 3:22, okay? 3:22. Let me write this down. 3:22 p.m. I have gone on record as saying what I think Shedeur Sanders will be. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's my projection. What the hell do I know? I've watched him play, you know, maybe a combined 27 minutes of football. But I'm being honest about that. That's my opinion. There have been a lot of varying opinions on what Shedeur Sanders is. At 322 today, on record, even if he's not a Giant, I want all of you to give me your projection on what Shedeur Sanders is, because I think this will help guide all of us into if they should draft him or not.
Great. And just for context, I have no problem doing this live production meeting. Were you going to mention Pat Shurmur's comments about Shedeur Sanders?
I haven't seen Pat Shurmur's comments. Oh, I apologize. I must have failed at my job.
These recent or are these the old ones?
Oh, no. This is from today from Paul Schwartz, who spoke with
me. I haven't seen it at all.
So there's no audio. Do you want to hear it?
Well, first of all, let's get some background here.
Okay.
Pat Shurmur is speaking where and why?
Paul Schwartz, I guess, probably called him. Probably his connections from him from being a head coach.
Also, it was a good report.
Former head coach of the New York Giants. He is now
OC, right?
The offensive coordinator of the Colorado Buffaloes.
Okay.
Deion Sanders, so obviously he coached Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders.
Absolutely.
Was brought there specifically, by the way, from Deion for his son.
Yeah, and look, one thing about Pat Shurmur is a hell of an offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Yep. And you would think he has a pretty good insight on Shedeur Sanders.
Okay. Yes. Right, I'm very excited to hear this. I haven't seen it at all.
When did
it come out?
This morning, and bad job by me. I just assumed you had it. I didn't mention it. So I will read it to you.
Failing my job as a talk show host.
No, but I failed my job too. But no, nonetheless, it's 3:06. I'm going to read the quote.
Did you just find out about it too, or did you know about it?
No. It made the circles in my Giants group chat. Okay.
You know what? Before you continue, I'm a little disappointed in Sean.
Yeah.
He sends us everything in the Evident Tiki chat.
I know.
He leaves this one out, then on the radio says, I'm surprised you didn't know about it.
I don't even care about the Mets chat half the time, but when there's something pertinent, I bring it over to our chat.
You're right. I should have done it, and I fired up
what
a bunch.
What I've learned from this entire interaction before we do hear from Pat Shurmur is that Sean kind of failed us all.
I did.
I was ready to take the blame and say, boy, I failed as a talk show host. I'm sorry I missed this. I was too busy cutting Aaron Boone talking about contacts with Jason Dominguez.
I think I thought thirsty. I was a little thirsty today, Evan. I felt like I sent too much. I was like, you know what, Evan's definitely going to have this. But let me just get to that. I think it's important. If we're going to make our predictions at 3:22, let's hear what Pat Shurmur had to say.
Okay.
Pat Shurmur said to Paul Schwartz, in comparing Shedeur Sanders to Daniel Jones, I think they're very similar prospects from both a player and a person. Now, I say that to say,
that's interesting.
He coached both.
Yeah.
And anybody who hears that might like the person part of it. They're not going to like hearing as a player that he thinks they're the same player.
Hmm.
There's no way, though. Teak, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know either guy. There's no way, personality-wise, they're even on the same playing field.
Well,
Daniel has always been, everyone said it, quiet.
Right.
He's not like boisterous.
I don't think Shedeur is either. I think he comes off that way, but I don't think he's a loud take over the room type of guy.
You don't think he commands in the huddle?
Yeah, he does, but I think Daniel Jones did as well.
You think so?
Well, absolutely. The thing I worry about, or at least I think people will worry about, because I'm not necessarily this way, is the player side of it.
Mm.
But let's not forget, before Daniel Jones had all of these injuries, and they just kept his one after the other, from the shoulder / neck to the ACL, the banged up years before. Like, it just felt like he was always hurt. And so I don't even know what I think about Daniel Jones as a player, because he physically never was a full player.
Right.
So if Shedeur Sanders can avoid the injuries, I don't think that's a bad thing. I know people are hearing that and maybe thinking it's a bad thing, but I don't think it's a bad thing that he's comparing them as players and as people.
Yeah. I also don't know how much stock I put in it.
Yeah.
I know.
It just intuitively, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
You also
said it trying to compliment him. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, of course. But to us, as the listener,
right,
intuitively, that doesn't feel like that feels like nonsense. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't feel like, that's true.
And just because someone coached a player doesn't mean that their view on the player is like the Torah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's his opinion.
Oh, we got this whole Jewish thing.
That's
going
right.
On.
Well, my dog was bar mitzvahed last week. So
I love it.
It is what it is. Did you take that comment? Does that comment bother you, Sean?
No, look. I would just look at it this way. Pat Shurmur's done a good job coaching quarterbacks. He was more or less a disaster as the Giants head coach. And I just look at it and go,
but Daniel Jones had a good year under him.
He did.
He had one of his best statistics.
I'm just being fair.
Yeah.
I, I am not going to take the bait on this because I've seen both players play and I see how different they are as players. So, you know what? If Pat Shurmur's looking at this as a way to compliment and do whatever, but I know Giants fans are going to eat that up and go, oh my God, we can't take Daniel Jones again.
Well, we'll see if it impacts everyone's view, because at 3:22, we will all go on record with what we think Shedeur Sanders will be at the next level. Let's go to Matt in River Edge. How are you, Matt?
What's going on? What's going on, dude? Love the show.
Thank you, man. What's up?
I'm a Jet fan, so this is kind of unbiased. I'm going to give my take on what the Giants should do. After listening to the press conference with Joe Shane, it kind of sounds like they're not going to draft a quarterback at 3. That being said, if they could double dip and trade back up into the first if Shedeur starts to slip, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it depends on where. So, I got to remember these numbers. It's impossible for me to keep these in my head.
The draft, like, point systems,
if you will. Yeah, exactly. The Giants' first, the third pick, they're at 2,200. So, that's not what we're talking about. Their second round pick is 560, I believe, or 580 or something like that.
That's the point system. That's a lot of
their
pick.
That's where they're at. And so, if Shedeur starts to slide, we kind of talked about this the other day. He's definitely not getting out of the top 10.
So that means they'd have to go from 34 to 8 in all likelihood to do this. That's a massive jump.
I want to say 8 is like 1,800. And so they would need 1,300 points, which is probably their next year's first rounder. And that's probably going to be it.
Okay.
But the question then becomes, is this year's second rounder worth next year's first rounder? And if it's you're finding your franchise quarterback, of course it is.
Right.
Because guess what you don't need next year? Your franchise quarterback.
Right, right.
And so it's okay to give up the first rounder. So is that a possibility? Absolutely, it's a possibility.
If I'm a Giant fan, IFO, and I think our last caller was an IFO, I'd be ecstatic if they pulled that off.
Right, because then you're getting whatever you got at 3.
Abdul Carter, which is clearly not
the quarterback. So it's Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, whoever it is. Hopefully a generational talent. And then you go get a potential franchise quarterback as well.
Of course.
I'd be ecstatic. That's a win-win moment.
Now, I get the risks that are involved because you're going to give up a lot. But in the moment, that Friday afternoon, if I'm a Giant fan, I would be pumped up. And that is something that Sean went on record yesterday. You kind of put it down, Teak. You said it was a guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sean clarified and said, no, I'm making a prediction that that's what's going to happen. That the Giants are going to draft Abdul Carter at 3, get the blue chip level potential Hall of Famer, and then go trade up and get Shedeur Sanders anyway at 8. That happens, I'd be pumped if I'm a Giant fan.
Yeah. On the record. Okay.
On the record. Let's go to Lee in Deer Park. What's up, Lee?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you? I wanted to get in this conversation also. I'm also a diehard Jets fan. And Evan, as a Jets fan, I hear you speaking, and I genuinely wish you were the general manager of the Bills or the Dolphins.
What does that mean?
Well, I thought you were going to put him a compliment. I love that swerve. That was a great swerve.
Yeah, you like
I did like that.
So here's the thing.
Go ahead.
When you... And I genuinely believe if you think he's going to be good, but you've given him kind of a low ceiling at that spot when you're drafting a quarterback 3 overall. And I feel like when you're reaching for the quarterback at 3, you're modeling yourself after a franchise that happens to share the same stadium as the Giants. Drafting the quarterback, you're reaching for him and trying to fit a square peg into a round hole if you don't believe in the quarterback.
Can we call that Zach Wilson?
or you know what? There was one a few years earlier.
Sam Darnold.
he's playing in Seattle right now.
Right.
And some years the quarterback draft is 2013. It's just not there.
Yeah.
That's a reality, and you can't force EJ Manuel to be a first round pick. And my logic here is obviously the best move for the Giants is to trade back and accumulate picks next year. But the truth of the matter is, you want to emulate yourself after a team in your division, the Eagles. They drafted Hurts in the second round, and their first-round picks, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, are what won them the Super Bowl.
Right.
Against that all-world best quarterback in the NFL that you talk about all the time.
But that
so
is... But
when
what
you
they...
build that defensive line,
right,
and you get the quarterback later on, and you can build the team the right way instead of forcing it, that's how you're going to have
but
to
But I don't think
and
it's...
And we can look at the...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Lee.
He gave up.
Right.
He basically said, I'm right.
Here's the thing. No, it's not even that. I think here's the thing.
Yes.
there are so many ways to build your team into a potential winner. The question is, who do you want to be? Right? Do you want to be like the Eagles, who built their core first, defensive line, but it's been over years. Like, they've been doing it for a long time. And offensive line, there's just a continuity. Even when they don't need one, they draft one, right? They bring in Jordan Mailata in a late round, who played rugby in Australia, and all of a sudden he's an all-pro, not Pro Bowl, he's an all-pro left tackle, replacing an all-pro left tackle in Jason Peters, who just aged out of it, right? So having that model is hard, and it takes a lot of commitment and a lot of years. I can't say that the Giants and Joe Shane, as unfortunate as it potentially may be, have a lot of years to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need not a quick fix, but they need like something that's going to make us feel good. It's going to make the owner feel good about the direction of the program.
The Eagles are a rarity. Like, we've gone
over
this.
Because the Kansas City Chiefs are this way.
No, in terms of drafting a quarterback in the second round,
they are. Yeah, yes.
And that's the example he used.
Absolutely.
Obviously, there are a lot of things that make the Eagles tick. It's not just that.
You're right.
Well, look what the Eagles did. They drafted a quarterback in the second round. How often does that happen successfully?
The caller who called earlier, about 35 minutes ago, he said that Jalen Hurts was the exception.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really think about it, he is. Because if you go back and just follow his career path, and I'm not just talking about in the NFL, he, as a freshman, he took Alabama, like then the powerhouse in college football, to the college football playoff. As a freshman, it's second year. They go right back there. We know what happened, obviously. He gets replaced. Brian Daboll, incidentally enough, is the offensive coordinator of this team. They go to the championship game. He gets replaced in the game at halftime by Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
They win a national championship. It's not him, but it is what it is. He's on the team the following year. He's not playing because Tua's the man. Tua gets hurt, and he has to come in and help them win the SEC championship, which gets them back into the college football playoff. And then he transfers and goes to Oklahoma as one of the most prolific quarterbacks in college football. So this kid has had success, adversity, success his entire life.
Right.
Right? And so when you draft a guy like that who's had success, this is why success is so important at younger ages, and we don't credit it enough. We look more at the statistics. Oh, he's big. He's 6'4". He throws for blah, blah, blah. And on the run at the combine in his underwear, he throws it across his body, and it goes 50 yards downfield right on target. Oh, wow, yeah, that's great. That means nothing. Are you a winner? Jalen Hurts has been a winner. Is it the entirety of his
But doesn't failure help too, like you just said?
But I think
didn't that help build him?
I think adversity.
Adversity, yes.
Helps.
Yeah.
Failure benefits nobody. I'm just telling you.
Well,
adversity.
I guess I'm using it as a synonym.
But if you're not good enough to win, like failing, you're just losing, that's on you too.
Right. But overcoming it, which is what he did.
Part of my issue with Daniel, and I love Daniel Jones coming out. He came in here as when he was interning in New York City with a Duke graduate who I happen to have a relationship with, business relationship with. He came in, he hung out with me and BT. It was awesome, dude. Sent me a note after he met, got drafted, and I was like, oh man, I love that kid. I think he's awesome. If I had known Eli, I wouldn't have thought a guy like him, that personality, would have worked in New York City. But I wanted to root for him. The one hang up I always had with him is that they didn't have success at Duke.
Right.
Right? It just didn't. Success matters, man. And we discount it too often and think that when they come to my team, it's going to be different. Why? Why is it going to be different?
And a lot of what you said is why I'm drawn in by Shedeur Sanders, because he has had that success.
Right. I'm sure he's had plenty of that too.
I'm sure.
But you're right, Evan.
And I elevated two programs.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with you on that.
Thank you. Are you still laughing about the sex part, Sean?
I'm a sucker.
Got some kind of dirty mind. When we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls.
You know
calls.
What that is, Sean? His wife is gone.
Yeah.
Yep. So what does that mean?
He's just like,
I'm not having
it. It's like festering.
Yeah. You know? I got news.
Touching
for
it is kind of fun.
I got news for you. With kids around, I don't make much of a difference.
That's a good point.
I don't know what we're talking about here. When we come back, we'll be a little late for our 3/22 proclamation, but we will all proclaim what we think Shedeur Sanders will be on record. We'll get back to your phone calls at 888-808-1019. And I'm sure at some point in the next 45 minutes, there'll be a rant in which I get pissed off at the Mets. because it's kind of working out that way.
No, you just predicted it. That's why you're pissed off about it.
Certain games bother me more than others. Mm-hmm. Just is what it is. But right now, we are all going to make our comparison predictions of what Shedeur Sanders is going to be at the next level, because that will help guide us into if he's worth selecting at number three. So let me go first, since I've already said it. It's not a surprise. I think he's going to be a solid NFL starter. I use Derek Carr as a comparison. Tommy has said this to me off air, like, what about Baker Mayfield? I agree with Baker Mayfield. I think that's a great comp. I think that Baker confuses people because he ended up bouncing around the league.
Yeah.
So when you hear that as a comp, you're like, well, is he going to stick with my team? But I think he can be on that level, like between 10th to 15th best quarterback in the league. I love his accuracy. I love his smarts. I love his confidence. He's not the most athletic guy in the world. But all those...
Why would we draft that guy then?
Well, did you hear what I just said about the intelligence and the accuracy?
Yeah, but that's Daniel Jones.
Well, forget Daniel Jones!
But
Daniel
Tiki's mind now.
But Daniel Jones was probably the 16th best quarterback in the league.
Well, I'll tell you this. In the right circumstances, maybe things would have been different with Daniel Jones. It didn't work out.
I 100% agree. I projected. I thought he would be better than he actually
was. I'll tell
you
a big difference. No, because you said it. So I'm going to use your words against you.
Okay.
Because you're slandering Shedeur a little bit.
I'm not slandering him at all. I actually think he's going to be better than what you're saying. But keep going.
Okay. You mentioned Daniel Jones. It concerned you that he didn't win at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Shedeur Sanders go to multiple schools and elevate both of them.
Yep.
Now, it's not all him. I understand that. He's the freaking quarterback. That matters. So that impresses me. That's a big deal. And guess what? Your program needs elevating too. Giants need to be elevated. And I like his swagger, and I like his confidence. And you know what else I like? I think it benefits him that his dad played in the NFL.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that.
Just like it benefits Vlad Guerrero Jr.,
right,
who started off this season in like this massive slump.
Right.
You don't think in the back of his mind he gets a call from dad and says, hey, son, I had that happen to me in 1996. Right. I think it matters.
Or Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
Whose dad was a pretty good player, and his son is a really good player. So it absolutely benefits, because there's someone trustworthy and who really cares, genuinely cares, that can help you do your job better. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a multiple Pro Bowler. I'm not saying he's going to be all pros. I'm going to be top three quarterback in football. But I do think he's going to make a couple of Pro Bowls in his career. I think he's going to have a not a super long career. He's not playing 20 years. But I think he can play 10 to like 14 years in the NFL and be a really good quarterback and make a couple of Pro Bowls and lead his team to in the postseason. And based on that question, the greatest question ever asked, would you take that? Yeah, you would take that.
So you want the Giants taking him at three?
I don't know if the Giants put him in that best position to be that guy that he can be. That's my problem.
That's the caveat.
That's the caveat. Because, look, I know the offensive line is better, but is it good yet? I know the skill position players are better. Malik Nabers is one of the best in the business, but is it full yet? The answer is no.
Mm.
And they have a lot. They have some ways to go till they get there. Now, could that happen this season and next year's draft? Yes. But the only way it's going to happen is if there isn't a regime change. And that's what I fear is imminent, a regime change.
No, it is.
And when you do that, as we've seen with the Bears this year, as we saw with the Carolina Panthers, as we've seen multiple times now with the Jacksonville Jaguars, that it just derails you. You need some consistency, and I fear that consistency might not be there for the Giants.
All right. Interesting. I wrote down multiple Pro Bowlers. Giants may not best prepare him to be in that position.
Yes.
That's the prediction of one Tiki Barber. Sean Morash, evaluate in your humble, Giant-loving brain Shedeur Sanders at the next level.
I'm going to preface this by saying I've been consistent on this with quarterbacks. I think a lot of quarterbacks can be doomed by where they go or propped up by, and Tiki, I think, generally agrees.
Right.
My instinct tells me, watching as much Shedeur Sanders in real time in college, I think he has, ironically enough, a Russell Wilson-type career. I think he will win a Super Bowl in his career. We will debate whether that Super Bowl was more defensive-driven or part of him. I think he will make multiple Pro Bowls, and I think eventually he will end up in a second or third stop in his career where he's not as good as he was the first stop. And we, in the end, will have a major debate about how great he was in his career, but with a ring and multiple Pro Bowls.
So I just want to be clear about this, because Tiki threw in a caveat, but I would still say this to you as well, Teague, but more so to Sean. You both should be screaming at the top of your lungs to draft Shedeur Sanders based on the way you guys evaluate him. I'm sorry.
I want them to take a swing.
Okay. No. It's not take a swing. It's I will be pissed if you don't draft him because you're viewing him as a borderline Hall of Famer. I didn't go with that far.
Yeah.
I said I think he's going to be good.
I don't think. Look, I think that's only true if everything goes right wherever he's drafted.
Correct.
And maybe it's just a lack of trust that it's going to happen with the Giants. And I want to believe in Joe Shane. And I do. I already believe in Dabes because he's coach of the year. You don't just win that thing by accident. We saw it. We talked about the accountability, the earn your right to play in games. We saw all that. I don't think it's any different. I called games of his over the last couple of years, and I trust what he's doing with that with the team. But they have to get this right. And if I'm the Giants right now, and there is a chance for a generational type talent at number three, you go get that player.
Mm.
And that might not be the quarterback that we're talking about.
Tommy Lugauer. I have no idea what Tommy's going to say. I got to tell you, and I'm actually very excited. No offense to Tiki or Sean. I'm most excited to hear Tommy's opinion on Shedeur because this could go one way or the other. He thought Tommy DeVito was going to the Hall of Fame. He wanted to wait on Aaron Rodgers. You're very unpredictable. Tommy Lugauer, what will Shedeur Sanders be in the NFL? Go.
I believe Shedeur Sanders will be a star in the league. I think he has the highest ceiling of any quarterback coming out. That said, I also think he has the highest potential to flame out.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see that with him, by the way.
Only because on paper, there is potential when you're not just drafting Shedeur. You're drafting the Sanders family dynasty.
You think that's a negative, though?
I don't know. I think it depends on the situation. I think it depends on the organization. I think it depends on everything else. But I think he's a star on and off the field. I think he will do great for the social media. And if you don't think teams care about that stuff, they do.
So
I think he'll sell a lot of jerseys. I like other quarterbacks in the draft as well. I want the quarterback at three. I'm a big Jackson Dart fan, too. I think Shedeur has the highest ceiling in this draft, though. I think he has the most potential to be a star quarterback. Why I'm not screaming? Besides Joe Burrow, what pocket passing quarterback in the league right now is a great quarterback? I can't think of any. Stafford, yeah, but he's old. Rodgers, yeah, but he's old. So he would be bucking the trend. He's a pocket, you know, passer.
Sure.
And right now, all the elite quarterbacks run. He doesn't. So he would be bucking the trend a little
but I think he has
all the makings.
But you know what's so funny about that? Like, I actually look at Shedeur Sanders as the guy with the highest floor, and his ceiling is maybe not as high as you said, but the reason it doesn't go as high is the last thing you said, which is that athleticism.
Right. Can I?
So why would you then think? See, I think he's safe. I think Shedeur's solid. That's why, like, I'm almost disappointed because of all of you, I'm not the most optimistic compared to the rest of you guys. But I thought I was optimistic by saying I don't think he has high bust factor. I think he's solid.
I'm purely speculating. I actually don't know who coached him in high school. Has anyone else coached him besides his father?
So, question.
I wonder, like, when you get into the NFL, look, when your dad's Deion Sanders, you're going to be ready to play in the league. You know the do's, the don'ts, you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, and there's a lot of coaches at Colorado, I'm curious to see how he would react if things go wrong and his dad isn't there or just the blanket of the security. And if he can overcome that, I think he's a star.
Yeah, the reason I wouldn't worry about that is because, and I'm surmising here, I don't know Deion, but I'm assuming that Deion has coached him not just to win games in college, but to prepare himself for the next level. And Deion knew, likelihood is, I'm not coaching you at the next level.
Yeah.
So I think that Deion has probably prepared him for the adversity that he may face at the next level.
By the way,
when you're coached by somebody that's not me.
By the way, what I said about 35 minutes ago, and that Deion specifically went and got Pat Shurmur as his offensive coordinator, that's exactly what I was alluding to.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wanted a NFL coach to coach him.
To help prepare him for that next level.
To help prepare him. Yeah. That's exactly why Pat Shurmur was the offensive coordinator. Before that, he was a consultant, and then he became the offensive coordinator for the Colorado Buffaloes. And it makes sense.
And Shador's also worked a lot with Brady. I mean, I don't know how you can learn any better. That's the best pocket quarterback in the history of the NFL. Evan doesn't want to hear that, but that's reality.
No. I have nothing but respect for Tom Brady's greatness. It's everything else about him that drives me nuts. By the way, I did a lot of research on Deflategate because, as you may or may not know...
Why are you doing research on Deflategate?
Oh, yeah. Tiki doesn't know.
I don't know.
Because next Tuesday at 4:30 on WFAN, I am facing Tiki Barber in a debate about Roger Goodell.
Oh, I see.
And I told him I need time to prepare because I want to throw everything at Tiki in this hard-hitting debate, and I wanted everything. So, Deflategate may be mentioned. It may not be mentioned. I don't know. I'll decide what I'm going to mention at you.
Oh, you could throw whatever. You could have that debate with me now.
No, not now. I'm not prepared yet, Teak.
I'm always prepared.
Okay, but I'm not. So I'm not.
I don't have to get ready because I stay ready.
Okay. Are you trash talking me about this already?
Sort of.
Tiki was very adamant the other day. It was all like very innocent because it was a posted and toasted segment. And there was an old tweet about Roger Goodell, and he got very defensive of Goodell. And I said, I'd like to debate you on Goodell as commissioner, but I need time to prepare. So I started beginning my preparations yesterday, along with watching another classic episode of 90210.
Dude,
I just can't get enough of this
show.
You know what's crazy? Quick observation, we'll get to your calls. They were always dropping hints about Brandon and Kelly from the beginning. Like, even though they were just friends and they didn't hook up until the end of season four into season five, like, it was always there that there was something going on between those two. Like, there was a sexual heat. They just never did.
And now you see it. Before, you couldn't see it.
Absolutely.
Or you just wanted to deny it.
It's not that I wanted to deny it. Those are my two favorite characters.
Right.
So, of course, I wanted them to hook up. I wanted them to get married. They screwed that one up at the end of season eight.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, they were always into each other. It's interesting.
That's funny.
Let's go to Sebastian in Bronxville. How are you, Sebastian?
What up, dude? I'm doing good. How are you today?
Oh, good. Good, man.
So
So I'll get to hop right into it. You know, I'm a 20-year-old guy. You know, I don't have great memories of when the Giants were good. When they won the Super Bowl, when I was 7.5. It was maybe the greatest memory of my life. Yep. And I've been hoping for that ever since. And, you know, they've been a national embarrassment for years now, and years and years and years. And I think a lot of Giants fans are now deluding themselves into drafting Shador because they believe he could be the savior when his potential ceiling is Kirk Cousins. I mean, at least I remind you, Kirk Cousins has never done anything of note in his NFL career besides make a couple of Pro Bowls and fail in the playoffs. And I think because, oh, well, he's made the playoffs a couple of times, that's pretty good. At least I remind you, isn't the point of these games not to make the playoffs, but to win the Super Bowl? And you know, unless you have an all-pro team surrounding a mediocre quarterback, you're not going to get there.
So
it's not going to happen.
So what you're saying is you would not draft a quarterback unless you can see him becoming Patrick Mahomes?
No, I'm saying is if the scouting is coming to us and saying that his ceiling is potentially Kirk Cousins, why would you waste and burn the number 3 overall pick on Kirk Cousins when at the number 3 overall pick you can draft a potential Hall of Famer
because
on defense in Abdul Carter?
Because my counter to you is I think Kirk Cousins impacts winning more than Myles Garrett did. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, but Kirk Cousins plays the most important position. But that's Cousins plays the most important position.
But that's my point. But
at
Sebastian,
the same time, Kirk Cousins is not good enough to win a game for you. He's not good enough to get you over the top.
But neither is Myles Garrett. Not because he isn't good enough, but because of the position he plays.
Yeah, he can't score the points.
I'm not ripping Myles Garrett. I'm just reminding you that other than Lawrence Taylor, who may be the greatest of all time, or Reggie White, who may be the greatest of all time, I don't think there's any defensive player that can impact you as much as even the level of quarterback that you described. And that's our difference. And that's why I ask you, so you're telling me you won't draft a quarterback unless you think he could be Patrick Mahomes. If that's your attitude, you may go decades without drafting a quarterback. Not decades, but years. You may continue to kick the can down the road with the attitude of, well, if I can't win a Super Bowl with this guy because he's not Patrick Mahomes, I'm not going to draft them. And by the way, it kind of feels like that's what Joe Shane has done for a few years, and you want to continue doing it.
And Patrick Mahomes, need I remind you, was destroyed and picked apart in the couple weeks leading up into the draft. So much so the Chiefs were destroyed again when they traded up to take him at 10th overall. So stop telling me that these guys that are great weren't the perfect prospects.
Steve in New Hyde Park. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. What's up?
What's up, dude? What's up?
Hey, I'm a diehard Giant fan, and Tiki, I always enjoyed watching you on Sundays when I was growing up with my father.
Thank you, man.
On that note, I feel like the Giants, I wish there was a way the Giants can draft both Shador Sanders and Abdul Carter, but I feel like, you know, Giants do need that franchise quarterback, and looking at some NFL mock drafts, I see the Giants drafting Abdul Carter at number 3, and then I saw in the second round they're talking about possibly drafting Tyler Shucks.
Yeah,
Louisville.
Yeah, he's actually gaining steam. Shuck, even though it's spelled Shough,
it rhymes with suck.
Yes, that's not going to be a good thing if he's not a good quarterback.
There's going to be a lot of headlines.
That's going to be really bad.
Tyler Shuck is basically the same age as Justin Fields, and that's not a knock. He's still young. He's 25 years old. It's not exactly Chris Wehnke or Brandon Whedon.
Who was 29, 28 or something?
Yeah, no, so which is older, I admit it. But is that not, like, a tad bit concerning? The guy was in college more than that guy who did a movie about being in college.
That would be Van Wilder, Ryan Reynolds.
I was going to say it. You took it out of
my
mouth.
Oh, you know that movie?
I was about to.
I didn't know if you knew the movie. You were setting it up like you didn't know it.
Well, I wasn't sure, but I was about to say Van Wilder.
Okay, we'll quiz you on it.
You took it out of my mouth.
Who is the lead female role in that movie?
No.
Well, if you know the movie so much, you can answer a simple question. 10 seconds, answer.
On. I never said I knew the movie. I said I knew the reference. And so I was going to make the reference, make myself look smart, and you couldn't wait to glory hound.
I'm helping you out here.
Oh, helping me out. Let me ask you a question.
Tarried.
If you were going to help me out, you would have done that. You would have whispered into my ear the way you did it for other people.
I'm retired from doing that.
Right. So instead, you glory hounded something I knew. Did you know Van Wilder?
No.
Did you know Van Wilder?
Did not watch Van Wilder.
Yes.
I know of it, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I don't watch it either. I just know of it.
I watched it, but I couldn't reference it. It's been years.
Okay. Well, do you believe that I was going to reference it? And Tommy stole it from it?
No, I believe that you're so bad with pop culture, you were not referencing.
Okay, well, I'll never get to prove it, but I swear to you, I had Van Wilder in my head. Let me get back to the question, Antique.
Also, Shuck graduated high school same year as Justin Fields.
Okay, thank you very much. Does it concern you that Tyler Shuck is Van Wilder? Now that we've explained the reference, does that concern you?
Yeah, probably a little bit. Probably a little bit.
The guy was
I can't move off the draft that guy because you're not going to get him in the second round. Mate. I mean, because it looks like he might push into the first round.
That's crazy.
Of course it is, but that's just how this thing works. Guys that are hurt in college are going to get hurt in the NFL.
I'm going to write this down. Tyler Shuck will be a bust in the NFL.
Well, I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's going to get a chance to be a bust.
Well, if he's taken in the first round.
No, hold on. Mm-hmm. I have to counter that for a second. I'm going to name a football player who was drafted. I want you to tell me if they were a bust or not. And I'm going to drop the mic on your ass.
Right.
I'm about to hand you an L in football.
All right.
You just said, hold on. You just said he can't be a bust because he won't get a chance, correct?
Yes.
Watch this. Christian Hackenberg, was he a bust?
Bang. I just beat
What do you mean?
Christian Hackenberg.
He never played.
So was he a bust?
I mean, from a draft standpoint, but he didn't suck. We don't know if he sucked.
Yeah, but he was a bust!
No, to me, a bust.
He was so bad he didn't get a shot.
But a bust to me is a guy who comes in, plays, and is so bad you get rid of him.
So you're saying Christian Hackenberg is not a bust?
I think he was just a terrible draft pick.
Sean, can you break the tie on this? I think I beat Tiki in a football debate.
He's a terrible draft pick.
I understand what Tiki is coming from in that he's not changing. He has a definition of what he conceives as a bust. But I think what
What was the guy's name?
Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell. That is a bust.
I lean, though, to be fair, more towards Evan, where if you're picked in the top two rounds and you are not a successful pick and you're like a disaster, you're a bust.
Thank you very much.
I think that where you're lying in
okay,
is
so let me
the
ask
high
you something.
End.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Because I'm going to disagree with you guys on this.
Okay.
I promise you. Is Ron Dayne a bust?
Yes.
See, you're wrong. He rushed for 800 yards as a rookie. The reason he didn't become a star in New York was because I became a star in New York. So is he a bust?
Well, he left the Giants and wasn't great anywhere else, though.
Doesn't matter.
Denver, all
Nobody
that.
Loves you like your mama. Forget the second spot. Unless you're Saquon. But forget the second spot. Right. Was he a bust? The answer is no. He was just a bad draft pick.
I think we're doing a lot of potato.
No, we're
here.
Not. We're not. You really have to think about it. See, people throw this stuff around like very flippantly.
I found
this. Like, oh, this guy's a bust. Oh, this guy is whatever word you want to use. But they don't think about the circumstances that he was in.
But Tiki, no, hold on. Don't answer it anymore, because here's what. Here's what you're doing, and it's very smart. You're not wrong about Ron Dayne. I'm not going to disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you laid out a great point.
Rookie rush for 800 yards?
But we're not talking about Ron Dayne. We're talking about Christian Hackenberg, who was so freaking bad.
I don't remember him playing.
Because he was so bad in practice, because they knew he was bad. That's a bust.
Okay, then it's a bad pick. Wasn't he a second-round pick, too?
He was a second-round pick, yes.
Samuel Jett.
Yeah, you can't really be a bust if you're a second-round
pick. There is crossover, though. Bad picks are busts. The question is, are busts bad picks?
Teak, let me walk you through this way. And I don't know what happened behind the scenes, in fairness. But if the Jets evaluated him during practice and said, oh, my God, he's horrible, and he's lazy, which I don't know if he was, but he's lazy. We don't even want to play this guy because it's so bad. Isn't that a bust? You're so bad you don't even get on the field.
Okay, but why would you draft him if you're not going to even give him the chance?
Because they're the Jets. Let's start
now,
with that.
I'm being honest. Like, why would you draft a guy if you're not even going to put him on the field?
Because maybe they were so unimpressed by what they then
saw. Okay, so then why did you draft him?
Because they're idiots.
So it's a bad draft pick. Yes. He's not a bust. It's a bad draft pick. You see what I'm saying?
No. No, I'm
in
not
a weird way,
saying.
In a weird way, Tiki swaying me.
In a weird of course way, I am.
Because I think what you're saying is, and we could use the word bust in reverse, the team busted more than the player busted in that point.
Yes. Never play. The team drafted you to be a player.
Their evaluation was a bust in that spot.
Yes, and you never play. How can you say, oh, he sucked? Okay, but he never played.
Here is the definition of an NFL bust according to Grok, which is AI. Are we going to trust AI?
I guess so.
He wants to hear what it says first.
Yeah. Do you want a Cybertruck?
An NFL bust is a player, typically a high draft pick, and I would say a second round pick is a high draft pick, who fails to meet expectations or performs poorly or underachieves significantly in their professional career relative to their anticipated potential. This can be due to factors like injuries, lack of skill development, poor work ethic, or off-the-field issues.
You know what? You're wrong. Hackenberg's not a bust.
Thank you, Sean.
And you know what I'm going to turn on? I think I'm even changing my definition. We gave the stat last week that Bobby Skinner gave. Three of the last 50 second round or beyond quarterbacks actually had somewhat of success. There has to come point in time. That doesn't mean 47 of them were busts.
If you're a second round pick,
that's a crapshoot. As a quarterback,
you are simply a project.
Okay.
There is no expectation that you're going to be good.
I think busts are only first rounders.
All right, yes. I asked AI again, is Christian Hackenberg a bust? I went specific. Here's the answer. Uh-huh. Yes, Christian Hackenberg is widely considered a draft bust.
Oh, well, I have a new AI that I'm going to get in, have a conversation with. It's called the mentorverse.ai.
What?
Yes. And you can correct the AI.
Oh, stop
when
it.
They have bad information.
Stop it. I'll tell you this. While I'm not going to fight tooth and nail to hand you guys an L, I am certainly not taking one because everyone knows Christian Hackenberg was a bust. We will come right back with more of your phone calls at 888-808-1019. We'll analyze the Met game when it goes final. We'll preview the Yankee game. And also something else that needs to be considered as we talk about the NFL draft. What Travis Hunter wants and the way the Giants view Travis Hunter. Interesting comments made both by the player and by Joe Shane. We'll analyze it coming up. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.